to not become a master of hadith or benefit from the knowledge of hadith or the knowledge of the Quran or any type of Islamic knowledge if he does not act upon this knowledge. The great master Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal rahimahullah, he says, ما كتبت حديثا إلا قد أمرت به حتى مر بي أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم احتجم وأعطى أبا طيبة دينارا. That every single hadith that I have written, before I wrote this hadith, I acted upon it to the extent that I came across a hadith that the Holy Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم was treated by cupping, and after he was treated, he gave the cupper 1 dinar. There was nothing wrong with Ahmad ibn Hanbal, but because he came across this hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and it was his rule to act upon every hadith that he has got, my brothers and sisters, he went to the kuppa, he was treated by the kuppa, and following Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he gave the kuppa 1 dinar. Just in his musnad, in his book Musnad Ahmad, there are between 30 to 40,000 hadith, and he has said he has acted upon every single hadith. Imam Bukhari, following his elders, following those before him, he tried his utmost best to bring the Quran and to bring the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam in every aspect of daily life. The Quran is the month of the Ramadan is the month of the Quran. The Quran itself says, شهر رمضان الذي أنزل فيه القرآن. The Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam would recite the Quran to Jibreel in the month of Ramadan, and Jibreel would listen to the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam's recitation. Imam Bukhari, acting upon the verse of the Quran and following Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, it is narrated that in the first night of Ramadan, Imam Bukhari's companions would gather and he would lead them in prayer. وَيَقْرَعُ فِي كُلِّ رَكْعَةً إِشْرِينَ آيَةً. In every rak'ah, Imam Bukhari would read 20 verses of the Quran, and he would keep on doing this till he finished the Quran. Every night he would read a third of the Quran. Thus, every third day, every third night, he would finish 1 Quran. And during the day, he would recite 1 Quran. 1 complete Quran every day in the month of Ramadan. And he would finish it at the time of breaking the fast, at the time of iftar. This makes it, he read 30 Quran during the day in the month of Ramadan. 10 Quran in the night of Ramadan. In one Ramadan, he read at least 40 Qur'ans. And there are people living today that actually read the Qur'an as much as this. One of my teachers, Sheikh Abdul Rahim, from Darul Ulum Berry, it is his habit that he finishes the Qur'an at least 40 times in one month of Ramadan. 40 times. And we finish the Qur'an maybe once in a lifetime. And that is by mistake. The Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam salah, his namaz was such that sometimes the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam feet would swell due to the length of time he stood in prayer. Imam Bukhari, following our beloved Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, his prayer was such that it is related that once he was invited to somebody's fruit garden. It was a time of Zuhr prayer. He led those that were present in the Zuhr prayer. And after the Zuhr prayer, he began to read Nafl. And he kept on reading Nafl. After he finished, he lifted his shirt. And he said to those around, انظر, هل ترى تحت كميسي شيئا? Have a look. Is there anything inside my shirt? My brothers and sisters, his back was swollen. His back was red. A wasp had stung him in 16 to 17 different places. It was said to him, O Bukhari, why didn't you break your namaz the first time it stung you? Imam Bukhari replied, كُنْتُ فِي سُورَةٍ فَأَحْبَبْتُ أَنْ أَتِمَّهَا. Bukhari was reading a particular surah. He was enjoying reading this surah. Thus Imam Bukhari didn't wish to cut this surah short. This was the great Imam. Such was his character that his heart was full of fear of Allah, justice and mercy for mankind. Abdullah ibn Muhammad al-Sayyarafi relates that I was once with the great Imam inside his house. An inkpot was in front of him. His slave girl came and knocked the pot over. Imam Bukhari asked her, كيف تمشين? How are you walking? Do you not look where you walk? She replied, إِذْهَا لَمْ يَكُنْ تَرِيكٌ كَيْفَ أَمْشِي. Very arrogantly and very offensively, that if the pot is lying everywhere and if there is no space, where should I walk? My brothers and sisters, instead of telling her off, he spread his hands and said, إِذْهَبِي فَقَدْ أَعْتَقْتُ. Go, Bukhari has freed you. It was said to him, oh Abu Abdullah, she's made you angry. She spoke to you offensively and arrogantly. Yet you in turn have done a good deed by freeing her for the sake of Allah. Imam Bukhari replied, أَرْضَيْتُ نَفْسِي بِمَا فَعَلْتُ. By freeing her, I have made myself angry. I have made myself happy. As I said to her, كَيْفَ تَمْشِينَ. How are you walking? And I said it in a harsh way. Thus, I have freed her. So, by freeing her, I have made myself angry. I have made myself happy that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not question me on the day of judgment the way I spoke to her. Once it acquired some merchandise, merchants came to him in the evening and offered to buy these goods, offering him 5,000 in profit. 5,000 dirham in profit. He told them to return. Next morning some other merchants came and they offered to buy the very same goods, offering 10,000 dirham in profit. He sold the merchandise to those that came in the evening. And he said to these that offered 10,000, I know that you have offered a lot more. But last night Bukhari had made intention that he was going to sell this merchandise to those that came in the evening. Thus Bukhari, فَلَا أُحِبُّ أَنْ أَنْقُضَ نِيَتِي. Thus, I do not want to break my intention. It was perfectly legal for him. It was permissible to break an intention. But because he did not want to break his intention, he sold his merchandise to those that came in the evening. His client owed him a large amount of money and he had no intentions of paying it back. When Imam Bukhari was in Firbar, he received the news of his client in a place called Amul. His companions came and said, go to Amul and demand what he owes you. Imam Bukhari replied, it is not a good thing that I frighten my client. When his client finds out, he leaves Amul and goes to a place called Khawarizm. His companions come for the second time. This time they say, go to the governor of Amul. Tell him to write a letter to the governor of Khawarizm to arrest this person. He owes you a lot of money. Imam Bukhari refused to take any help from the governors. That maybe these governors later on may ask for favors and Bukhari may be forced to sell his deen for the sake of dunya. His companions, without his knowledge, went to the governor of Amul and he in turn wrote a letter to the governor of Khawarizm to arrest this person. When Bukhari was informed that his companions have done such a thing, he told them off and he was very angry and said, please do not pity me, and please do not pity me more than myself. He in turn wrote a few letters to the people of Khawarizm that please do not say anything to my client. His client meanwhile returned and was intending to go to a place called Marv. Some merchants informed the governor and his client was arrested. And the Sultan, the governor, was on the verge of punishing him. My brothers and sisters, this person owed Imam Bukhari 25,000 dirham. Imam Bukhari says, let it be and do not punish him. This was the great Imam. And this is what made him one of the great masters of hadith of all time, if not the great master of hadith of all time. As for his death, the great master did not associate with kings, leaders and governors, knowing that it is virtually impossible for a person to stay on the Sirati Mustaqim, to stay on the straight path, to stay firm on religion if one associates with kings. He tried his utmost best to stay away from them as far as possible. Now his reputation grew day by day. His name had rapidly spread throughout the Islamic world. When the governor Khalid ibn Ahmad al-Buhri heard about his brilliance and saw that thousands of people attend his circles and his lectures. He requested the great Imam that he should come to his house and teach him and his children specially his book al-Sahih al-Bukhari and al-Tariq. But Imam refused. He said to him, he sent a message, كَإِنِّي لَا أَذُلُّ الْعِلْمِ وَلَا أَحْمِلُهُ إِلَى أَبْوَابِ الصَّلَاتِينَ. That I will not disgrace the knowledge of hadith by taking this knowledge to the doors of kings. The governor thereafter requested that if you do not wish to come to the house, then give private lessons, special lessons to governors only, in which the general public are not permitted to attend. Yet again Imam Bukhari refused, as this was the knowledge of hadith, in which you and I and everybody is equal. He sent a message that if you wish to acquire this knowledge, then attend the hadith circles like everybody else in the masjid. فَإِنْ لَمْ يُعْجِبْكَ هَذَا. And if you do not like this, فَأَنْتَ سُلْطَانٌ. You are the governor. فَمْنَعْنِي مِنَ الْمَجْلِسِ لِيَكُونَ لِي عُذْرٌ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ أَنِّي لَأَكْتُمُ الْعِلْمِ. If you do not like this, then stop me holding these circles. So at least I have an excuse on the day of judgment that this governor stopped me from spreading the deen of Allah, as I personally, as Imam Bukhari personally, will not hide the knowledge of hadith. This refusal aroused anger and hatred. And the governor made firm intentions to expel Imam Bukhari from Bukhara. But this was not going to be easy. As Imam Bukhari, we can say, was the people's favorite. The people loved Imam Bukhari and they were willing to sacrifice their lives for him. Thus he instructed Hurayth ibn Abi al-Waraqa and others to accuse Imam of such a thing which kindles rancor and arouses anger and hatred and bitter feelings in the hearts of the general public towards Imam Bukhari. They accused the great Imam of Inna al-Faz al-Qur'ani makhluka, that the words of the Qur'an are makhluk. Thus Imam Bukhari was expelled from Bukhara and was told to leave Bukhara. He left Bukhara and went to a place called Baykan. Before he reached Baykan, this false accusation had already reached Baykan. And now the people of Baykan were disputing amongst themselves regarding Imam Bukhari. There were those against Imam Bukhari because of this false accusation, because of this rumor that they had heard, whilst there were those that were still in favor of this great Imam. When Imam Bukhari came to know this dispute, he decided that it was not appropriate to reside in Baykan. Whilst he was still in Baykan, the people of Samarkand heard about his arrival in Baykan and they suggested that Imam Bukhari should come to Samarkand and reside and settle in Samarkand and teach hadith in Samarkand. Imam Bukhari left Baykan for Samarkand. On the way, he stopped at his relations in a place called Khartang. Whilst he was in Khartang, this false accusation had reached Samarkand. And now the people of Samarkand, like the people of Baykan, were disputing amongst themselves regarding Imam Bukhari. There were those in favor, whilst there were those against. When it came to Imam Bukhari's knowledge, he prayed to Allah, Ya Allahumma, قَدْ ضَاكَتْ عَلَيْهِ الْأَرْضُ بِمَا رَحُبَتْ فَاقْبِذْنِي إِلَيْهِ. O Allah, that the world in spite of its vastness has become tight to me. O Allah, raise me unto you. After this initial disagreement between the people of Samarkand, the people of Samarkand finally agreed that this was a rumor and there was no reality behind this rumor and that was a false accusation. Thus they insisted that Imam should come to Samarkand. Imam Bukhari left for Samarkand. Ghalib ibn Jibril says that he put on his Amama turban, he put on his leather socks, and I was holding his hands. He walked about 20 yards when Imam Bukhari said to me, أَرْسِلُونِي فَكَذَّبْتُ, that leave me, I am tired, I have become weak. I left him, he prayed to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then lied down, and he died in this state. On the night of Eid al-Fitr, in 256 Hijri, and was buried in a place called Khartang. Imam Karmani says, كَلَمَّا دُفِنَ فَاحَ مِنْ تُرَابِ قَبْرِهِ رَاحِيَةٌ غَالِيَةٌ أَثِبُ مِنَ الْمِسْكِ. When Imam Bukhari rahimahullah was buried, a sweet smell better than musk diffused from his grave. And this smell remained for days, to the extent that people began to take the earth, the soil, for barakah, for blessings. Thus a fence was erected and this area was closed. Such was a great imam's status that Abdul Wahid ibn Adam relates, رَأَيْتُ النَّبِيَّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهُ وَسَلَّمَ فِي النَّوْمِ وَمَعَهُ جَمَاعَةٌ مِّنْ أَصْحَابِهِ وَهُوَ وَاصِئٌ فِي مَوْزِئٍ, that I saw our beloved Nabi صلى الله عليه وسلم in a dream. He was standing with some companions at a certain place. I greeted our beloved Nabi صلى الله عليه وسلم with Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullah. The Holy Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم replied, wa alaykum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. I asked, مَا وَقُوفَكَ هُنَا يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ, O Messenger of Allah, tell me who you're waiting for. The Messenger of Allah replied, أَنْتَظِرُ مُحَمَّدَ بْنِ إِسْمَعِيلَ al-Bukhari. That I am waiting for Muhammad ibn Ismail. Abdul Wahid ibn Adam relates, after a few days I received the news of his death. I looked into the time of his death and found that Imam Bukhari rahimahullah had died exactly the same time I had seen our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam waiting for him. Such was his status that Nasr ibn Hassan relates, قُحِت الْمَطْرَ عِنْدَنَا بِسَمَرْقَنْدِ فِي بَعْضِ الْأَعْوَامِ, that once there was a drought in Samarqand. فَاسْتَسْقَ النَّاسُ بِرَارَ مِرَارَ فَلَمْ يُسْقَوْ, the people prayed to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for rain many times, but in spite of their constant praying, there was no rain. A pious man from amongst them, known for his piety, came to the Qazi of Samarkand and said that it is my opinion that you go to Imam Bukhari rahimullah's grave and ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, pray to Allah using Imam Bukhari as a medium. The Qazi took the people to Imam Bukhari rahimullah's grave and the people prayed to Allah. Directly they prayed to Allah and asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for rain, crying using Imam Bukhari as a medium. The narrator says, there was so much rain that it rained continuously for 7 days. لا يستطيع أحد الوصول إلى سمرقند من كثرة المطر وغزارته, that nobody was able to enter or leave Samarkand for 7 days due to the amount of rain. This was the great Imam. Let us very briefly look at his book Sahih al-Bukhari. Very briefly. It is the belief of the Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah is the most authentic book after the Quran, and it is the most authentic book of Hadith. But like I mentioned last week, this is not the only book containing authentic hadith. There are many books which only contain, and were specially written for this purpose, only contain authentic hadith. Sahih ibn Khuzaymah, Sahih ibn Hibban, Sahih Abi Awana, Sahih ibn Sakan, Al-Mustadrak lil-Hakim, Al-Muntaqal ibn al-Jarud, المختار لضياء المقدسي, to name just a few. There are three reasons why Imam Bukhari decided to compile a book only containing authentic hadith. The first reason is, the great master Ibn Hajar al-Asqalani writes that the reason Imam Bukhari only wrote a book containing authentic hadith was because he found that the books before him contained all types of hadith, authentic and non-authentic. When he found this, he decided to do something different, to go against this trend, to do something which proves beneficial. Thus, he compiled a book containing only authentic hadith. Now my brothers and sisters, before Imam Bukhari compiled his book, books were written and compiled generally in three different ways. Firstly, there were the Masanid. Masanid books are books of hadith which are not sorted subject wise. For example, what the compiler would do, he would write the name of a companion. For example, Abu Huraira. Under Abu Huraira, he would write all the hadith that he had of this narrator, in spite of whether these hadith were authentic or not. After this, he would write the name of another companion. For example, Anas ibn Malik. And under Anas ibn Malik radiallahu ta'ala anhu's name, he would write all the hadith that he had of this companion, Anas ibn Malik, yet again in spite of whether they were authentic or not. Then he would write the name of another companion. And under this name, he would compile all the hadith that he had of this narrator. And so forth. Now all the names of the companions under which the hadith were recorded, under which the hadith were written, for example Abu Huraira, Anas ibn Malik, Ibn Abbas and so forth, these names were not arranged in one particular way. Sometimes these names were arranged in alphabetical order. Sometimes in according to those who embraced Islam first. Sometimes according to according to the tribes they were from. Sometimes according to their status. This is the first type of books. Now, a good example of this book is the book of Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal, which is known as Musnad Ahmad. These were the first type of books. The second type of books were those that were written on one particular subject. For example, As-Salah, Namaz. The compiler, what he would do, would choose a subject like Salah. And all the hadith he had regarding this topic, he would write down in this book. Yet again, in spite of whether they were authentic or not. For example, the book of Hassan al-Basri, in which he collected all the hadith containing anything to do with the commentaries and explanations of the Quran. These were the second type of books. Those that were written on one particular subject. The third type of books were those that were divided in many, many different chapters. Chapter on Iman, chapter on Salah, chapter on Zakah, chapter on divorce, chapter on marriage, chapter on faith, and so forth. And in every chapter, the hadith that were related to this chapter were included. In spite yet again of whether they were authentic or not. These were the third type of books. And a good example of this is the book of Al-Imam al-Sha'bi called Al-Abwab. Now these were the three different ways generally books were compiled and written. When Imam Bukhari saw this, and he had seen that many books had already been written like this, he decided to go against the trend and write a book, a different book, a book which proves beneficial, a book which benefits the people in a different way. Thus, he decided to write a book only containing authentic hadith. This is the first reason why he compiled a book only containing authentic hadith. On top of this, secondly, what inspired him further was, he says that I was with my teacher, Ishaq ibn Rahway, when one of our companions said, لَوْ جَمَعْتُمْ كِتَابٌ مُخْتَصَرًا لِسُنَنِ النَّبِيِّ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَمْ, that only if you gather, compile a book containing authentic hadith concerning the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam and his sunnah. He says, one of our companions said this, his words had an effect on me, فَأَخَذْتُ فِي جَمْعِ هَذَا الْكِتَابِ, thus I decided to compile Sahih al-Bukhari, compile a book only containing authentic hadith. This is the second reason. The third reason why he compiled a book only containing authentic hadith is, he says that I saw the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in my dream. I was standing in front of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with a fan inside my hand, protecting our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam from flies. I asked somebody regarding the interpretation of this dream. I was told, كَأَنَّكَ تَذُبُّ عَنْهُ الْكِذْ, that you will get rid of the lies attributed to the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He says, فَهُوَ الَّذِي حَمَلَنِي عَلَىٰ إِخْرَاجِ السَّحِيحِ, this is what inspired me and motivated me for taking out authentic hadith, compiling a book only containing authentic hadith. These are the three reasons why Imam Bukhari chose to compile a book only containing authentic hadith. The hadith that he has written inside this book, he chose from 600,000 hadith. The few thousands that have been recorded in his book Sahih al-Bukhari, he has chosen from 600,000 hadith, and he spent 16 years compiling this book, compiling this hadith. Every hadith that he has written inside this book, he says, first before I wrote this hadith, I took a bath. For every hadith, after taking a bath, I read two rakat namaz. Istikhara, I pray to Allah and ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for proper guidance. And I made sure that this hadith was authentic. After this, I recorded the hadith. And he did this with every single hadith inside Sahih al-Bukhari. Such was the acceptance of this book that 90,000 people heard this book directly from Imam Bukhari whilst he was alive. Abu Zayd al-Marwazi relates that I was sleeping between Hajr al-Aswad and Maqam Ibrahim, between the black stone and the place of Ibrahim, when I saw the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in my dream. The Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to me, "Oh Abu Zayd, how long are you going to keep on teaching the book of Shafi'i? How long are you going to keep on teaching the book of Imam al-Shafi'i rahimahullah?" I asked the Messenger, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Oh Abu Zayd, when are you going to teach my book?" I asked a Messenger of Allah, "Which is your book?" He replied that my book is the book of Muhammad ibn Ismail, Al-Jami' al-Sahih, Sahih al-Bukhari. Before we finish, a final thing. Some people seem to think, a very few people seem to think, that if a hadith is not found in Sahih al-Bukhari and Sahih Muslim, in these two books, it is not authentic. Why? Because Imam Bukhari and Imam Muslim have gathered, compiled all the authentic hadiths that ever were. Thus, if a hadith is not inside these books, this hadith is not authentic. What is the reality behind this? Let us look at what the masters say. Let me quote Ibn Kathir. Ibn Kathir says, إن البخاري ومسلما لم يلتزما بإخراج جميع ما يحكم بصحة من الأحاديث فإنهما قد صحح أحاديث ليست في كتابيهما كما ينقل الترمذي وغيره عن البخاري تصحيح أحاديث ليست عنده بل في السنن وغيرها. The master Ibn Kathir accepted in every corner of the world. He said that Imam Bukhari and Muslim have not taken the responsibility of compiling all the authentic hadith. Nor have they compiled all the authentic hadith that ever were, and nor did these great masters take the responsibility of compiling all the authentic hadith. How do we know this? فَإِنَّهُمَا كَصَّحَّهَا أَحَادِيثَ لَيْسَ فِي كِتَابَيْهِمَا. Imam Bukhari and Muslim, regarding many hadith, they themselves have said that this hadith is authentic. But when we look for this hadith, it is not found in their books. This hadith is found somewhere else, in some other book. Many a time Imam Tirmizi, he says that Imam Bukhari has said regarding a certain hadith that it is sahih, that it is authentic. But when looked for, this hadith is not found in Sahih al-Bukhari. This hadith is found in one of the sunans, in one of the other books. Never mind the masters. Let us see what Imam Bukhari, he himself says. Imam Bukhari says, مَا أَدْخَلْتُ فِي كِتَابِ الْجَامِعِ إِلَّا مَا صَحَّ وَتَرَقْتُ مِنَ الصِّحَالِ مَلَا لِطُّولِ. That all the hadith that I have recorded inside my book Sahih al-Bukhari, they are authentic. However, وَتَرَدْتُ مِنَ السِّحَالِ مَلَالِ الطُّولِ. There are many hadith, authentic hadith, that I have not recorded inside Bukhari, fearing that the book Sahih al-Bukhari will become too long. Thus I left these authentic hadith. Imam Bukhari says, أَحْفَظْ مِئَةَ أَلْفْ حَدِيثِ صَحِيحِ. That I have memorized 100,000 authentic hadith. Open Sahih al-Bukhari. How much will you find? A few thousand. Where have the others gone? This shows that Imam Bukhari didn't compile all the authentic hadith, and nor did he take the responsibility of compiling all the authentic hadith. As if the great master knew 100,000 hadith, he says, I know 100,000 authentic hadith, but in Sahih al-Bukhari we find a few thousand. Never mind Imam Bukhari, Imam Muslim says, لَيْسَ كُلُّ شَيْءٍ عِنْدِي صَحِيحٌ وَضَعْتُ هَا هُنَا إِنَّمَا وَضَعْتُ هَا هُنَا مَجْمَعُ عَلِيْهِ. That all the authentic hadith I had, all the sahih hadith I had, I didn't record them in my book Sahih Muslim. I have only recorded those that they agreed upon. It is related when Imam Muslim was reproached from writing a book only containing authentic hadith, and he was said to the great Imam that this will give an excuse, this will be an excuse for the Ahlul Bid'ah. As if a hadith is not inside your book, The Ahlul Bidah will say that this hadith is not authentic because it is not in Sahih Muslim. Imam Muslim replied, I have said that all the hadith inside my book are authentic. I have not said that all the hadith that are not inside my book are weak. So my brothers and sisters, the reality is that if a hadith is not found in Sahih Bukhari and Sahih Muslim, this does not mean that the hadith is weak. And nor has Imam Bukhari and Muslim compiled all the authentic hadith. This was Imam Bukhari in his life. وآخر دعوانا الحمد لله رب العالمين.